And up next on the net for Free Radio Santa Cruz's net show of January 2nd, 2019, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides yet again, 2 hours for you. A lot of interviews, bits and snatches, rags and patches, bit from the DIY parade, a bit from the life at the Funa Bombs area, a bit from camps around the area where people are surviving in the absence of any meaningful winter shelter for a lot of them, and some because they just can't stand the shelters anyway, even if they were available. But listen in and you'll learn more.
They go wild, simply wild over me. Though I've never done them harm that I can see. I'm as gentle as a lamb, but they take me for a ram. They go wild, simply wild over me. Oh, the cop, he went wild over me. And he held his gun where everyone could see. He was breathing rather hard when he saw my union card. He went wild, simply wild over me. Then the judge, he went wild over me. And I plainly saw we never could agree. So I let the man obey what his conscience had to say. He went wild, simply wild over me. Then the jailer, he went wild over me. When he locked me up and threw away the key. Oh, it seemed the rage to keep me in a cage. He went wild, simply wild over me. Now they go wild, simply wild over me. I'm referring to the bed bug and the flea. Oh, they murmur in my sleep. They disturb my slumber deep. They go wild, simply wild over me. Will the roses grow wild over me? When I've gone into the land that is to be. When my soul and body part in the stillness of my heart. Will the roses grow wild over me? Well then, God, he went wild over me. When I knelt beside the throne on bended knee. When the angels turned to yell, they shot me down to hell. They went wild, simply wild over me.
And that was another wobbly IWW song, The Industrial Workers of the World. Radical anarcho-syndicalist socialist group from, gosh, well, it's still around in one frame or another, actually very small form or another. Used to have a chapter in Santa Cruz. It may still, for all I know, although I haven't seen much evidence of that. The song was The Popular Wobbly, and it was a labor song written by Finnish-American songwriter T-Bone Slim, according to the notes on YouTube. It's a parody of the 1917 hit, They Go Wild, Simply Wild Over Me, by Joseph McCarthy and Fred Fisher. More songs of this kind by listening further to this show, because I think I'm going to play some more wobbly tunes as I try to figure out what I want to begin the show with. I got a little tired of Sing Me a Song with Social Significance, though who knows, maybe that will come back. And got any suggestions, give me a call at the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which is also my home phone, 831-423-4833, or 423-HUFF. So we'll begin with an interview from a woman I call Cornerstone Carol. You've heard her before on this show, Cornerstone Carol Denny of Berkeley. She's a songwriter, she's a singer, she's an activist, and she called in with a report from Berkeley. All right, well, today is December 29th, and it's about a little after 1. I'm talking with activist Carol Denny from Berkeley, who's maybe got some updates. What you got, Carol?
Oh, well, I finally got a partial response to a Public Records Act request I filed back in September.
Uh-huh.
And this had to do with a little park called Triangle Park, close to People's Park. It's at the corner of Telegraph and Dwight. Mm-hmm. And there had been this odd phenomenon of the city coming up and fencing it off after having put benches and planters and, you know, a payphone and, you know, sculpture and, you know, turning it into a more, I don't know, a park full of all these amenities
minus,
at the public expense.
Minus benches, of course.
Well, that was the first to go. These benches, most of the amenities are with the exception of the payphone. And I kept going up and checking in with people who knew the area really well, including the merchants, and the merchants all claimed they had no idea what was going on. But the people who spend most of their time outdoors were telling me that they're trying to undesignate a park that goes clear back to 1968 and was a six-month forerunner of People's Park. It was named Herrick Peace and Freedom Park. It was dedicated to Chuck Herrick, who was the founder of Ecology Action. Part of Ecology Action's philosophy was, you know, take unused space and make parks out of it, make greenery, make gardens, you know, work together with your neighbors and convert these spaces wherever you can find them. Something that became 20 years later enshrined in a citywide ordinance in Berkeley called Measure L. That ordinance was passed by the entire city of Berkeley, very, very popular ordinance that said the same thing. We not only need to protect our open space, but we need to collect and convert unused public space wherever we find it. So what was going on up there was in complete controversy of certainly the park's history since 1968, but also Measure L, this ordinance, which they have to undo if they wish to abuse, or so I thought. So right away I sent in a letter and a Public Records Act request, a note to the city council saying, what's going on up here? You know, this controverts Measure L, and you know, you can't unpark a park, at least not in Berkeley. And what they apparently attempted to do right at that point was redesignate the park, and the city attorney, according to my Public Records Act request, which is, again, is only partial, I only see people responding to what the city attorney apparently was conspiring to do with the Business Improvement District on Telegraph Avenue, which was take away all the amenities, fence it off, make sure that nobody sees it as a place to be anymore, after which they'll quickly redesignate it, hoping nobody notices, and it will be henceforth referred to as a, quote, traffic median.
Mm-hmm.
Just a legal designation that means that they don't have to have a bench or have amenities or respect it as a park in any way because it's just a traffic median. And when I saw this, I thought, well, that, you know, shouldn't the city council care about this? I thought, is this all just between the city attorney and the city manager and that business improvement district? It turns out not at all. Kate Harrison of District 4 was all up in this, and so was Rigel Robinson, whose District 7 purview includes People's Park. To destroy a park, to unpark a park in Berkeley, the citizenry at large made that a very difficult thing to do, and enshrined in Measure L is an obligation on the City Council's part to protect parks and also to enhance and improve and enlarge parks wherever possible. So I'm in the middle of that as I wade through this. What I see is that, yet again, and what you and I have seen for, it's got to be 40 years now,
mm-hmm.
the reaction or overreaction to visible poverty is to decide, in this case, that they just have to destroy all parks. And, of course, only certain parks in certain areas are getting this treatment, but Triangle Park certainly is, and so I've been putting posters up there, which get rapidly torn down, but I've got about 50 of them, and I just keep going back and putting them up so that people have a chance to see that this park has a really interesting history as commemorative of Chuck Herrick and Ecology Action, but also the forerunner of People's Park, community in action, user developing public space for community good.
Make sure you save a poster for me as well. Maybe send me a photo of one if you can.
Oh, I'd be glad to. I'll send you. I'll do that as soon as we're off the phone. Mm-hmm. But I thought I'd tell you that also what I'm seeing all over town, I should say, are these areas of, you know, public spaces, our BART Plaza area being one, and certainly Telegraph area being another, where people are just being rousted and harassed in a very concentrated way. So that Martin versus Boise, the law that was upheld now, or that the Supreme Court refused to hear, that upheld people's right to simply be in public if there's nowhere else to go, is not being observed by Berkeley. And I noticed you, your marvelous discussion with KPFA a couple of weeks ago, noted the same thing about Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. So you guys down there and we up here, I'm really looking forward in the new year to doing coordinated highlighting of this that has obviously not been a functional way for any government to work. Our tent communities are just enlarging and enlarging, and the hardship for people on the street is being ignored by the city council. As far as I'm concerned, they are deeply concerned about people needing to use the bathrooms in local stores and stuff like that. And I feel like, okay, then, why don't we work together as a community for some common sense? And I really, really hope that I really want to thank you for highlighting these issues in Santa Cruz. You've helped me get a broader view and see that it is not just our local issue. This is nationwide. So,
well, I know, Carol, that back in 94, it was Food Not Bombs and different groups in Berkeley fighting, I guess, what, Measure M or Measure N? I can never remember which letter it was.
Measure O.
Measure O, thank you. I got it wrong.
Pretty close.
Yeah. And they came down to Santa Cruz, and they helped to essentially, well, the police then rioted and went after people, but it became, we have a video was produced about it. It was, we were able to stop the sitting ban citywide. They limited it to the downtown, and it's been expanding ever since, but it's still, the coordination between the two activists in both communities, and parts of both communities, I think, responded, at least here in Santa Cruz. I'm not an expert on Berkeley, but people came out in massive numbers and filled the streets in Santa Cruz. They initially went after Food Not Bombs, and our local Food Not Bombs, and Food Not Bombs up north came down to support them in early May of 94, and there was a massive police riot, as I said, and then that was followed the next week. Council members Coonerty and Kennedy were out on the streets, it was Mayor Kennedy at that time, you know, trying to calm the crowds and all that sort of thing. So, you know, of course, it often requires large crowds to get the attention of these clowns. So.
Yeah, and publicity. So that they, at least the front page of my little paper, the Pepper Spray Times, will be all about next door deciding to remove Keith McHenry's post about the homeless memorial in Santa Cruz, which to me, considering the public records request I'm looking at, which is full of unctuous city council members and city staff commiserating with merchants who have to put up with a sight of poverty while people are honestly trying to live along a median strip somewhere or, you know, in some little unclaimed part of the city, like down here, under the overpass, the imbalance, the moral outrage of the imbalance has really deeply affected me for the past 3 days. I'm just walking the city and talking to people, trying to get a sense of it. What kills me is they never fail to highlight the behavior of somebody who is struggling with mental illness, and then use that person as a spokesperson for everybody else. And I have to say, as someone who, like, I'm perfectly capable of losing my temper or having an inelegant moment, but I speak for no one but me.
Yep.
Demand that right on behalf of my, I have a lot of friends on the street who move in and out of stability, and I've, I'm just outraged at the tenor of the conversations that I'm having to see, which I know are all over Next Door. Next Door insists that, yes, you know, there is no politics to reporting someone black in a white neighborhood. And I've got to say, I'm glad there are at least a few voices who speak up. You know, apparently a few people object to Next Door's idea of what is and isn't political. But I'm outraged on behalf of Keith McHenry, whom I know well, and the treatment of a homeless memorial, which I would think is something every community should not only need to know about, they need to know the numbers, and I would hope they would wish to attend.
Mm. Well, Carol, thank you for that. Anything else you want to mention?
That's pretty much it. I just wanted to check in and thank you for your work. Wish you Happy New Year and hope to do coordinated actions.
I love the idea. If I can be helpful in some way and there's something happening, let me know what's going on in Berkeley.
Thanks a million.
I'll pass it on to folks down here. And I'll see if, you know, it's really hard to get people to move up there to do those actions, but maybe we can coordinate anyway. I mean, it's...
We can coordinate anyway by at least offering to send statements back and forth that can be read by somebody else. We'll figure out a creative way to do it and just work on different opportunities to share footage and share interviews and so forth.
And, of course, I'm also awaiting the forthcoming publication of the Collected Pepper Spray Times 96 through 2019. So.
Well, that would be fun. In my copious spare time, I will attend this.
Oh, yeah, I know. You've got a lot of lazy time there. Thanks, Carol.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Carol Denny, who is the author of the monthly satirical publication The Pepper Spray Times, can be read in the online at the Berkeley Daily Planet website. She comes up with a four-page series of articles and parodies. You have to be a little conversant with Berkeley, probably, to catch it all, but I think it's some of it is a little more universal, and it almost regularly there's a bit of it that has to do with how homeless people are treated, or rather mistreated, in Berkeley, and unfortunately elsewhere as well. In Santa Cruz, it's also quite pertinent. I was going to try to get someone to be a contact person with Carol to try to mutually exchange information between Berkeley and Santa Cruz so that we can support each other when ridiculous or positive measures come up at city council or at chambers of commerce meetings or in downtown association events, things of that sort, police department activities, Next Door nonsense, Santa Cruz trash arenas. But we had a very small meeting yesterday. It was, of course, New Year's Day, and folks were obviously not terribly interested in coming to meetings. But we did have a small meeting, and it just we didn't get to it, and we may do that next week. We meet every Wednesday at noon, usually at the Sub Rosa. Sometimes when the Sub Rosa is closed, we'll hop over to the Bagelry or go to Yan Flower or some other place. But check us out. We're right next to the bike church, usually Wednesdays at noon. Homeless memorials, I like to see them as a kickoff point for action. That's, of course, my inclination. And obviously, if I have lost a whole bunch of friends, I might or might not want to. This is actually pointed out to me by a homeless woman criticizing a homeless memorial 10 years ago. I played this, I think it was last Sunday, as a flashback, criticizing the memorials that were being held at the Homeless Lack Services Center, now called Housing Matters, or Housing Mutters, as I call it. The idea that homeless people may feel more saddened by a memorial than able to, and more reminded of things they don't want to be reminded of if this kind of thing is sort of pressed upon them by the authorities that are running what they're doing, rather than by the if they aren't doing it themselves. The homeless memorial, I brought up the issue a couple of times, both at that memorial, well, the next memorial that we held on the streets 2 days later, and in several shows that the literature offered at the 2019 memorial describing deaths among the homeless people from December 20th 2018 through December 9th, 2019, listed 58 people. And that's what the stats talk about, giving the number of housed and homeless, giving the number of men and women, and the numbers of white, Hispanic, Native American, Pacific Islander, black. They all add up to 58. But then if you look at the list of names on the back, Lost But Not Forgotten, Santa Cruz County, there's a whole 84 names on the back. And I pointed out this is kind of strange. What's going on here? 58 is an increase over last year's report from 2017 to 2018 when there were, I'm looking at it now, I guess there were 55 listed. It's not very much of an increase, although I think that obviously some names have been left off both years' lists. Anyway, I wrote to Phil Kramer, who's the still the head of the Housing Mutters Homeless Lack of Services Center, Coral Street area, and he hasn't been very responsive to me in the past at all, but this time he wrote me back very quickly. I asked him specifically, how did I put it? I said, it seems kind of strange that we have this situation where you either have 58 dead or 84 dead. What's the story? Both of these figures seem to appear on the same literature. He said he didn't know, and he couldn't tell me. He didn't really handle it. Homeless Persons Health Project handled it. And I sent him back immediately a letter and said, well, yeah, but you're the master of ceremonies. You presided over all this. You gave out all this literature. Or, you know, you were the impresario who was sort of the head of that event. So it got forwarded by Matt Nathanson, who in the past has gotten together these names of the dead. I guess he's retired, and it's a guy called David Davis who's taken over at HPHP, Homeless Persons Health Project. He wrote me back, hi, Mr. Norris, the names read at the memorial include those who were homeless in Santa Cruz when they passed, 58, those who were housed and were previously homeless, 24, and those who were homeless at one point but passed out of the county last year, two, total of 84. And actually, yeah, a total of 84. We do not make the distinction when reading the names. So I also asked him, and Matt may clear that up, in terms of hypothermia, I was trying to find out how many people died of hypothermia. The information, Davis writes, we have did not indicate it was the primary cause of death for any of the homeless people who died last year. That being said, the data is still pending on a number of deaths. If you know of anyone, he asks, on this list or missing from the list who passed away for any reason, please feel free to contact us. We rely on community members, healthcare partners, and presumably other folks to let us know. Clear that up. Confusing to me, still, even after I got the letter, I was a little unclear about it until I read it over a couple of times. I'm not sure how it's a matter of, maybe it's age, or maybe it's weariness, maybe it's too many times immersed in the subject, who knows. The details on people who have died outside in terms of, well, we have the claim that the county makes, the coroner makes, is that the most likely primary factors leading to death were, one, the biggest number is undetermined and pending, 28 out of the 58 that they cite is actually coming from homeless who were homeless in Santa Cruz when they passed, when they died. And the next largest number is sepsis for 7, and then trauma for 6, struck by a vehicle, struck by a tree. That would be Desiree Quintero. And something else, it's not too clear what they're talking about. Oh, fall. They fell. Then we have suicide, cancer for 3, and then drug, alcohol, intoxication 2, chronic substance abuse, ALS, MRSA, renal failure, liver failure, and gastrointestinal bleeding 1. And of course, we have some recent deaths. I'm not clear how Jerry died and how, I guess, Nancy died. Those are two. Or how Kate died. Those are three names I know of people who died recently. I don't know them personally at all. I've talked to several of them at different points. Jerry, anyway. The issues that people have been raising and that I am concerned about is that the city's failure to provide winter shelter options, a warming center option, other obvious options, showers, storage, the ability to go into, out of, even the limited so-called path to housing shelter or emergency shelter, if you're in a program which is available for maybe a couple hundred out of the 1,200 or more homeless people who are outside, is been increased in the winter at all. And it's in fact been decreased from last winter. And this kind of was the focus, I think, at least one of the motivations for the New Year's Eve canopy that was out at the end of the Pacific Mall near where the Food Not Bombs meal is normally takes place on Saturdays and Sundays, 4 to 6. And there's been lots of talk about us, well, some talk, at least certainly among activists, about establishing some kind of taking over a building, taking over a parking garage during a night or occupying it so that it can be used for homeless sleeping for that night, or sort of making it, doing a protest there. There's been some suggestions of going back to City Hall with the Freedom Sleepers, as they were doing several years ago, or just setting up another camp, possibly even at the Ross Camp area or somewhere else where there's a large open area. But nothing has been settled, and I've been trying to encourage people who are housed to become available on a sign-up list if they want to be a supporter for any of these projects, if and when they materialize, if, particularly if they come from homeless people themselves, because they're the people who are out there will be taking the heat, or I should say enduring the cold, and dealing with the police, and it would be nice for them to have some support if they do it, but they're the ones who've got to make that decision. So far, we have not yet done a lot of good organizing, although some of that is in process. A very small amount, I am a little embarrassed to say. First, discussions about having a Boise versus Martin lawsuit, the lawsuit that held that if you're in a city that has inadequate shelter, then you can't be cited, arrested for camping or sleeping. And that has, as I've said many a time on this show, slowed down the camping arrests, or actually stalled them largely, not entirely, but I would say in the main. But instead, as I've also said, and this is why any discussion of the camping ban is sort of stupid and off topic and kind of diversion, and why the Catch Committee's interest in this is spurious. It doesn't go to the issue of people outside in winter or people outside in summer or people outside generally, because what's being used are the other ordinances. And that's possibly going to be challenged. It could be challenged in court. We've heard, talk about Tristia Bauman and National Law Center for Homelessness and disabled rights groups and ACLU attorneys and other folks getting interested in this. And if they do, great. But they aren't coordinating with the Union of the Homeless, as far as I know, or with HUF, with Conscience in Action, or anybody else, which they don't have to do. But it does put me in a position where I don't really know what's going on. Who knows what's happening? Call in 423-4833. It does have a meeting on the 12th, which they're going to give away an award, which they do every year, sometimes to the most unlikely candidates, such as Ryan Coonerty, former mayor and now supervisor, who's helping to essentially restrict marijuana cultivation and consumption, a cutback on syringe exchange, and help to crush the first Ross Camp, or at least that seems to be what our mayor, Justin Cummings, told a group of people, or somebody in a group of people that he was with, suggested and suggested it came from Justin Cummings, that Ryan Coonerty was insisting there would be no funding for the 1220 River Street campground, which is a much smaller, more expensive campground than the Ross campground, the one behind the fence that you can only approach by a vehicle, although I'm told that has loosened up somewhat, along River Street as you come into Santa Cruz from Highway 9. That's the 12th. I'll be giving you more information on that as the date gets closer.
Girls of the world, awaken, break your chains, demand your rights. All the wealth you make is taken by exploiting parasites. Shall you kneel in deep submission from your cradles to your graves? Is the height of your ambition to be good and willing slaves? Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Fight for your own emancipation. Arise, ye slaves of every nation, in one union rant. Our little ones for bread are crying, and millions from hunger dying. The end, the means is justifying. 'Tis the final stand. If the workers take a notion, they can stop all speeding trains. Every ship upon the ocean, they can tie with mighty chains. Every wheel in the creation, every mine and every mill, fleets and armies of the nation will let their command stand still. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Fight for your own emancipation. Arise, ye slaves of every nation, in one union grant. Our little ones for bread are crying, and millions from hunger dying. The end, the means is justifying. 'Tis the final stand. Join the union, fellow workers, men and women side by side. We will crush the greedy shirkers like a sweeping, surging tide. For united we are standing, but divided we will fall. Let this be our understanding, all for one and one for all. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Fight for your own emancipation. Arise, ye slaves of every nation, in one union grant. Our little ones for bread are crying, and millions from hunger dying.
And I think you get the idea of that one. I think that's an earlier version of what became the Communist Internationale before the Communist Party formed in its 1917 form. Actually, I think in the U.S. it was either 1918 or 1919 that the U.S. Communist Party formed. But it was the IWW's, one of their many songs. And now it's back to Santa Cruz with the latest from the end-of-the-year festivities at the Red Church. I wandered through the last-of-the-year meal there on the 30th, and here's what I found.
Weather now, so to speak?
No.
Bad weather, but good report?
Yeah, good reports with music.
You're smiling.
I know. Smiles are for free, man. Everybody needs to put one on. What are we going to bring to 2020? Or what are we going to be teaching our kids?
Whatever isn't taken away from us. Thank you, Sonny. Any reports from the street? Street reports, sir?
Have a good week and a good new year. And, be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
Indeed. We've been listening to the cliches of
Travis.
Thank you, Travis. Any reports from the street? Street reports? You still have a car.
Alive.
What?
Been towed by the
police. Tell the police that you're sleeping in your vehicle and they'll take it away from you.
It's two people sleeping.
You saw me walking my cat yesterday and they waved at me and said,
yeah,
bye.
Two people and a cat.
Now, did your cat have a license?
She has fleas. I should tell him.
No, she's a public menace, in other
she's
words.
She's a menace.
She was walking around the cars around here, and it looked like I was acting suspicious, bro.
The cat was sniffing things out.
Oh, it's you with the cat.
It was me and saw the cat, and she was like, what?
Name of the cat?
She's anonymous.
Anonymous.
Appreciate it.
Name of the people talking?
No!
We'll leave that for the next time. Thank you for treating your citizens.
It's been better and it's been worse. If I could get rid of a couple of guys,
I see.
Old guys in that
Are
trailer
you
park.
Threatening some of the
really,
elders.
Oh, well, evidently they reported me for calling him a bastard and a son of a bitch, but I actually called one of them a sexual predator.
And was he a sexual predator?
And he called me a fat ass.
I see. So you exchanged greetings.
You know, we were just exchanging, yeah.
All right.
That's how mature us over 70
years
old
That's the real feelings. I think it's very, very good.
In a senior trailing bar. Well, I have good information on this one that I call a sexual predator.
Well, we'll leave that for the next time. And we've been talking to the libels of
Susan Worth.
Thank you, Susan. Anything new for you, sir?
Anything you report? Mueller report.
What do you got there?
Trump, you're going down, down. I know you're in there.
You better.
He's all around us.
Just disgusting.
Thank you. Any street reports?
Street reports. Got a street report.
Any reports from the street?
Not so much.
No? Any reports from the street?
I don't know much.
Well, Robert Parsons is against us being by the post office. He said he will support if we move to the city hall. So I said, well, we start at the post office because the squatters over there, the fart over there at the city hall, they're not here. They're on vacation. So when we come back, we can move from the corner of the post office on Water Street in front and march all the way to city hall and have Freedom Sleepers too.
And we've been listening to the thoughts of...
A Freedom Sleeper.
Thank you, Freedom Sleeper.
And that, of course, was Lucero Luna, who's been rooting about the idea of restoring the Freedom Sleepers to City Hall once the City Council returns, which will begin next week, I believe, next Monday. Well, the City Council won't return, but the City staff will return, and the City Council will return second Tuesday in January, which will be the 14th.
Happened last time at McDonald's.
Yes.
And it would be best for me to speak when I'm not in a crowded room.
Fair enough. It is a little hard, but we can still hear you.
Because it's easier for me to think and speak.
I got you. Well, we'll await that opportunity.
I have certain limitations.
Fair enough.
But I would like to talk to you about it.
Thank you, Bob. But things haven't improved, in other words, particularly.
I will say that. It's just, I still go there.
Westside McDonald's.
But, you know, how should I say? I'm his project.
All right. We'll think about that one.
You understand, right?
I might. And if I don't, you can explain it next time. Thank you, Bob.
And last time I spoke with Bob, who carries his stuff with him, he talked about, I think it was being evicted from McDonald's, even though a regular customer told that he had been there for, either he hadn't bought the coffee that he had there, or he had bought it too long ago, or he was somewhat pissed that he was being given the bum's rush when he was a regular customer. And I'm still hoping to get more details on whether that's happening generally at McDonald's. I've been... in Santa Barbara, some time ago, we did a protest when McDonald's was regularly turning away homeless people and got them to change their policy by essentially going up there and ordering and then just sitting down and declining to leave and making a big public issue of it. That was a couple decades ago, not here in Santa Cruz, as I said, but in Santa Barbara. But that kind of thing can be done, or it can be made very public with pickets and so forth, and it may exert some pressure on the policies of these managements that are behaving that way towards a discriminatory, acting, treating homeless people badly.
Any street reports?
Happy New Year!
Party hard.
I did hear you, and I responded, and you...
No, that's after you came up this way.
Edging into a conversation here in the line. Well, what's your name, sir, if you wish to say, for our records?
Jack Russell.
And Jack, what? Any reports from here, there, and everywhere, or anywhere, for that matter?
Nah, just Americans are asleep and don't realize they're slaves.
Well, that's probably true. Any reports from the street? Sleepy reports from the... Any reports from the street? No. Anything you wish to say for Fury?
My toothache. He'll tell you everything. No, I'm just kidding. He's got a toothache.
Oh, well, that's a problem. I can hear that. Any street reports?
I don't have anything to say today, but thank you.
Thank you. Any reports from the street?
No.
Thank you. Any reports?
No.
Thank you. A music recommendation for all of you music lovers.
ODDTV. Music. About what the government and the cops do to us and how it's not right.
Take it.
Yep.
Anything else you want to pass on?
That's about it.
Thank you. And you want to say we've been talking to?
Jack Russell.
Thank you, Jack. Again, sir.
I said Cooper will explain in full detail about the safe camp.
I've been referred to you, Cooper, as the mistress of ceremonies around the safe camp. What's it all about?
Oh, well, yes, we do have quite a safe camp. And
how many are safe in the safe camp?
Well, we've had as many as 12 people. A lot of times we get the overflow that the Salvation Army shelter can't handle. You know, they either have too many people or some of the people get kicked out and then they come to us. I have a lot of gratitude for the people who've donated blankets, clothing, food, and it really has saved lives. So I'm really grateful for all the donors, the Good Samaritans.
And, any visits from the safe police?
Well, we still were getting ambushed nearly on a daily basis.
Right.
For impeding foot traffic on the sidewalk, which it was not. But they've written me so many tickets that they've given me 2 court dates already. So they ambushed and would ask for me, and then they've written me so many tickets that it was 2 court dates.
All right.
You can sit here, Michael.
Serve people.
I'm observing. I'm making notes, sir. Okay. We have Joel Miller cleaning the floor with a napkin. Yeah. But you were saying, Cooper.
And that's it. So then, lately, the last couple of days, we've had the police department people have come, and they've been really nice, actually. They said, oh, you guys, your camp looks really clean.
Did they bring coffee and donuts?
No, but we'll ask them next week. They might.
How long have you been there now?
A couple months. We started out on the corner of Loudoun Elsinore, now on the lawn, on that corner of Center and Laurel,
right,
across from the police department, and that was in about September 15th, somewhere around there. So we've been on the Loudoun Nelson premises there since about that.
How many tickets have your group acquired since then?
Oh, my gosh. As a total, probably 50 or more.
And were you offered alternate places to go before you're given those tickets?
No, and it seems to me that the Rangers especially are uninformed as to our shelter situation in Santa Cruz. They were telling me there were 7 open shelters that were taking people. That is not true. We actually get the overflow from the only one, that Salvation Army, that's, you know, the night program
on Laurel Street.
On Laurel. And, you know, I mean, they kick the people out at 6 a.m. in the rain. So, but it's better than nothing. But a lot of times, yeah, we've taken the overflow from that group.
I understand they give you a free shower occasionally over the fence at Laurel Park sprinkler.
Yes, during the summertime in the warm months, then the sprinklers did go on, which prevented anybody from staying on that sidewalk by the Loudoun Elsinore lawn, which is why Russell and I were across the street in front of the house on the corner, and we were actually in front of somebody's house for about 3 weeks.
How did that go?
Well, I mean, it was less than ideal, but the people that rent that house were very kind, and we tried to be as respectful as possible, you know. And it's not, it's a better situation where we are now at the other end with the fence in back, and we don't want to be in front of somebody's house. I mean, if you don't have to. So.
Fair enough. How's Loudoun Nelson Center with its fine bathrooms for the upper class treating you?
Right, I know. I'm still just shocked that they even have them closed for the children who play on the playground. And I'm interested, you know, when they say now that city property is for the people, the Laurel Street Park and Loudoun Nelson are two separate entities, yet they put the fence on the outside of Laurel Park, saying it's all part of Loudoun Nelson. If Loudoun Nelson wanted to put a fence up, they should have put it on the other side of the grass, you know, by the walkway Loudoun Nelson, because the park is the people's. So I'm wondering why they're still locking that after all these, I guess, orders coming from the United States, you know, that the city property is for the people, and when you're not providing housing, that is for the people. Yet they're still coming and locking the gate at 10 p.m., which prevents anybody from using the lawn or any area of the park.
Unless you jump the fence, of course.
Unless you jump the fence, which we have had.
Is there much? Are there many people who do jump the fence that you've observed inside the park?
No, we actually were ambushed by two, older teens who came at night intoxicated and jumped the fence and jumped over the top of us, threatening to burn our tents down. They kicked over a barbecue and kicked over some things in a wagon and tried to make mayhem, and one of them fell right on top of a sleeping woman as he jumped over the fence. Like, they jumped into Loudoun Nelson and then jumped back out over the top of us. And the actual young man started some fights and bit Russ. And the police were called by the neighbors, and the kid went to jail for public intox. Russell didn't want to press criminal charges because, you know, right now the system's not really there to help the kids. So that's not where the kid's going to get help.
And we've been listening to the satanic dialogue of...
This is Cooper. Thank you.
You're still out in front of the Palomar doing music.
Yes, we have. We've been... we still meet with the vets every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right across from the vets hall. And we sing our old war songs down there for an hour. And
anti-war songs as well.
Anti-war songs.
It's one, two, three. What are we fighting for?
Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. Well, it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time in asking why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die.
10 a.m. on Wednesday. And at night as well in front of the Palomar.
Yeah, we still sing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any thoughts, sir?
Yeah, my name is Mendonca. Listen, you fascist, criminally insane pig dogs in City Hall. Not only do you leave the people alone in peace on the street, you dug up the Native American sacred burial ground, which is a goddamn huge criminal crime, which it's a hanging offense. Before this fucking war is over, you freaking piece of shit fascist motherfuckers, I'll see you hang before I die.
And we've been talking with
Mendonca.
Thank you, Mendonca.
Homeless stuff. Yeah, if you want to know about services or talk about stuff, place to sit.
Big decisions will be made.
No decisions. Roll on, roll on.
And another announcement, folks. You got this flyer. It probably tells you. If you haven't, there's some on the table over here. Tomorrow is the last day of the year, but there's going to be more next year, of course. There are two things happening tomorrow. One is a 12 o'clock canopy protest, makeshift sort of outdoor warming center at the where the Food Not Bombs meal is usually held downtown, which is a memorial to the people who have died this year, another memorial, particularly recent deaths like the death of Jerry, which happened, 3 or 4 days ago, it was reported then. Yeah. I didn't know that very well. I talked to him once or twice. Anyway, and then tomorrow night, starting at 5:30, there's a parade called the DIY Do-It-Yourself Parade. It starts
right in back of the Saturn Cafe, which is near the Bike Church, if you know where that is. And it's a walk all the way down Pacific Avenue. No permits, no apologies. Lots of fun. Guys on stilts, people in costumes. Bring your own self. You don't need a costume. That's 5:30 tomorrow. So it is right across from the Saturn Cafe in the back where the parking lot is.
And you'll hear perhaps in this broadcast later a little bit of from that parade. It was very, very small this year. Stilts guy did not show up. And there were some small costume folks. And they weren't small in size, but they were small in number. And it's gotten smaller and smaller each year. But I was surprised it even happened this year, but glad to see it. And I'll speak a little bit more about it perhaps later in the broadcast.
For the drugstore, if you know where that is. That's all.
Plus, now I have one thing to say. A lot of homeless people have cars. We should get up a fund from the city for cars, for gas, for people who live in their cars. Because I could definitely use some gas, and I know a lot of other homeless people could definitely use the same.
I agree.
Where is it?